Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only, Thursday nights at 6 o'clock on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Here's the bad boy from Bayonne.
Chiefs do such a great job of pre-snap movement, shifts, and motions to declare what the defense is doing.
Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danon Hughes.
What's good, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building, second to last Players Only show. I am optimistic that we will have at least one more show as we roll into New Orleans in a couple of weeks. Again, this is your host, Danon Hughes. You can follow me on Twitter /X at DAHughesGuy83 and on Instagram at Danon Hughes. I am flying solo this week in the studio, and you know what? I am amped up, bro. I feel like this week is going to be a struggle as we wind down what these next 48 hours until we kick off against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. Feeling some sort of way about the fact that we got the second game of that evening kind of just stretches out the day a little bit longer than I would like. I'll be in the booth with Mitch Holthus, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler for this 7th straight AFC championship. This one at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. And I am amped up right now. So forgive me if things get a little tense during this show. I feel like my brother Sean Barber spoke it eloquently when he was with CDOT during Carrington's show earlier today, where This matchup feels like it's more of a heavyweight fight, maybe an old school middleweight fight, like a Hagler Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, that type of battle, than any of the other matchups, especially between these two teams. But before we get into the Bills, we got a flashback, because the Chiefs did the necessary work to move on in, I don't know if it was exciting fashion. It was in good fashion. It was entertaining fashion. But the Chiefs did what was necessary to move on get the job done against the Houston Texans that I think everybody in their right minds expected. Let's face it, not a slap in the face to the Houston Texans, but they are not on our level. They have not been on our level for these past 2 years, even with having C.J. Stroud at the quarterback position. And credit to them, last year as a rookie, this year in his sophomore season, being of the final four teams in the AFC playoffs. They lost last year, and they lost this year, and they lost to both teams who were better than them. But coming into GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, it was definitely going to be an uphill climb for them. They battled at times during the game, but the better team won. As we do each and every week, the first segment of the show, the first quarter of the show, we flash back to the last game. And with this Houston Texans game, at halftime, it was close. Score was 13-6. We wind up winning the game, to me, in decisive fashion. But that first half was a little unique. There was a lot of things going on. We saw some concerns. I wouldn't even say issues if they rose to issues. But we saw some concerns with the pass rush against our offensive line. Patrick Mahomes was sacked twice in the first half of that game. But as we've seen throughout this season, actually as we've seen throughout this seven-year run, halftime adjustments are at the premiums. Halftime adjustments are where we are able to go into halftime, offense, defense, special teams, tighten the screws up. We may have done some things in the first half just to bait the other team, just to test the other team, just to have the opponents show their hand on how they were going to defend us, how they were going to approach us offensively. And then we innately went into halftime and said, you know what, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to change this, we're going to adjust this and this, and then come out victorious. Because I'm in the booth and I'm the color analyst for the broadcast, I get to go down to the locker room. This week will be a little unique because it's the AFC Championship. You know, I am expecting, and it's not a boastful statement, I expect that the confetti will be red and gold and that we will be celebrating on our home field another opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. There will be multiple post-game interviews and opportunities to talk to different guys as they make their way into the locker room, maybe even on the field as they celebrate hoisting that trophy. But this past week was normal. Game was over, clock hit zero, go downstairs, and I scan the locker room to see what players I want to interview. I don't interview the same guys multiple weeks in a row unless there is something truly glaring about their performance that warrants that I go and interview them. So this week, there were a couple of players. I get two interviews, and I got a chance to talk offensively with Trey Smith after the game. Trey Smith is the ultimate professional, a very good dude. Got a chance to spend some time and chat with him off the field this past summer at Justin Reed's Celebrity Softball Tournament, where I actually performed terribly at as a former professional baseball player. I was so embarrassed with my performance, but it just shows that at Studio 54 years old, I just don't have it in my gas tank anymore. The arm is not what it used to be. Can't swing the bats like I used to be. I've gone to counseling. I've accepted it, Julio. So I know where I stand. The good old days are the good old days. But that's where I got a chance to really sit down and chat with Trey Smith. And it's always refreshing to get in front of them when you're around these players with the successes that they have had throughout their career. There are times where I feel like maybe they don't remember me. I travel with the team. They don't recall who I am, that I played on the same field, that I donned the same lockers as them. And there are times where you feel like I almost feel like I have to reintroduce myself to a lot of the young guys. Most of them could be my kids' age. Heck, there's some of them that could be grandkids. I got a grandchild that's 19 years old, so not too far off. So going into the locker room being recognized and Trey Smith being willing to to sit down and chat is really cool. So after a win, it's always fun. It's always cool. The challenging ones are after losses, where you're trying to find the guys that are going to be good on tape, that are going to answer questions, that are not going to be totally in their own feelings, that are not going to be one-word dudes and just answer questions quickly to get the microphone out of their faces. You run the risk in the AFC Championship of that being the case because there's finality in that. But I was happy that I got a chance to talk with Trey Smith. This is what he had a chance to talk about. Here with Trey Smith. Trey, tough game, obviously, to be expected. But how huge was it to get this win? Again, a success in the divisional round here at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, you know, it's always an honor to play here first and foremost. And to have the amount of success that we've had the past couple years is incredible. And, you know, having the opportunity to go play in the championship game again, you know, it means the world.
A lot is made about this defense, and justifiably so. Very tough defense, especially on the edges with Will Anderson Jr. and Daniil Hunter. You guys, there were some challenges in the game to be expected, but the impressive part is how you guys were able to be road graders when it was necessary, opening up the door for the run game at the end and to secure the victory. Talk about being a resilient unit at an offense that has been kind of move and play, plug and play with Joe Tooney moving on the outside and Mike Caliendo coming in.
Yeah, you know, it's a next man up mentality with this organization, and Andy Heck and Corey Mate do a phenomenal job making sure each and every man that has the opportunity to go on their play, that they're prepared and ready to do it. And, you know, I feel like guys stepped up tonight. You're going to have your ebbs and flows, you're going to have your ups and downs, but overall the compete was good, and, you know, just trying to find a way to win, and we found a way.
And now you guys spoke about, even before touching the trophy last year, about the goal of a three-peat. Doesn't mean that you're overlooking anybody, but how does it feel to know that you're moving one step closer to that goal that you spoke about, you know, almost 12 months ago?
I think it proves nothing until, like you just said, we're just one step closer. We have to go out and earn it every single time we step on that field. And, you know, it's playoff football. That's the beautiful thing about the game of football. It doesn't really matter how good your record is, how good you're supposed to be. You have to go out on that field and earn it next, in front of the man in front of you every single time. So don't ever look too far in the future. We're just staying in the present, just trying to grind it out.
I love that answer. I love Trey Smith. And let's remember, Trey Smith, very young in the NFL, hasn't been around a long time, but has had more success than a lot of longtime vets. He's in his fourth season out of Tennessee. He and Creed Humphrey came in together, the brothers right next to each other on the offensive line. And there are times where when you're interviewing players, especially in that element, you feel like there are times where they're like Nuke LaLoosh from Bull Durham, where they're just saying what's politically correct, what's just the vanilla statements. And then there are times where you recognize guys believe it. And as I'm sitting there listening to Trey, and as you got the chance to listen, I can hopefully you heard him like I heard him in the truth, the absolute truth in his voice and how he presented his case. And from a human standpoint, you'd love to think, you know what? I am thinking about the Super Bowl. I am thinking about the three-peat. I have been thinking about it. It is in the back of my mind. We're not looking over anybody, but we are definitely looking towards something. And it's refreshing when you hear the truth out of their mouths that, let's face it, have there been conversations about New Orleans? I'm sure. Have there been chats, you know, maybe sitting around the locker room when everybody's gone, or sitting in the hot tub or getting treatment, where they're mentioning how cool it would be to make history? Yes. But you can see the overwhelming focus. You can hear the overwhelming focus of next up, next game up, next man up, next play up, next quarter, next half, next adjustment, et cetera. And that's a champion's mindset. I got a chance also to flip on the other side with one of the heroes of this season, not just this game. He had another crucial clutch special teams blocked kick. Leo Chanel joined me in the post game as well. Let's hear from him. Here with Leo Chanel. Leo, coming through in the clutch with another blocked kick. First and foremost, before we even get to that kick, how about you guys defensively taking on a windstorm early? A few long drives. They had the ball for 15 minutes straight between the second quarter and the third quarter. But you guys stayed gritty, stayed determined, and got the job done.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a huge credit to our defense. You know, obviously, we don't want to. We got to do better on third downs, second and longs. You know, we all thought we could do a better job there. But it's just the mentality of this group. Like over and over again throughout the season, it just shows how much we can stick together. Like when things get tough, when a team like drives, you know, we're tired, like, we get in the red zone. It shows how much we pull together and we don't push each other apart, push each other away. We always pull together, and that mentality keeps on showing.
A lot of people question whether there should even be talk about the three-peat, because it's always about game to game. You always condition. Don't overlook the opponents. I believe you can do two things at once. You cannot look over opponents, but also look ahead. It seems like that's kind of been the DNA of this team, where the goal has been the goal. Doesn't mean you're overlooking anybody. Now that you're one step closer to that, how does that feel that you guys set a goal back in February and now you're moving successfully towards it?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, in the offseason, we all have our goals. And if one of your goals isn't to win a championship, that's a problem. And, you know, so we stick with those goals. It's not like we just drop them, you know, as we go throughout the season. But right now it's – I appreciate you, Josh. Right now it's just like one game at a time. Nobody's, you know, truly thinking about that. It's how do we get to the championship and have an opportunity there in the past? It's not by looking ahead or whatever. It's by playing one game at a time, and we have to continue that and take the good, take the bad, especially from this game, and learn from it. That's the most important thing.
And now finally going to the kick block. Being a starter on defense and the pride that you take in special teams and the success that you've had in blocking kicks, this is another postseason block for you. How big was that for you, and what does it speak about how you guys take on the third phase of the game in special teams?
I mean, it's huge. You know, every single guy on that field goal block team is putting in the effort. You know, I blocked it twice, but every single guy is a part of it. You know, Derek Nnadi, you know, doing his part. George getting a great push. Jay Reed drawing all the attention with his great get up. And then, you know, Coach Tobe, greatest special teams coordinator of all time. It's big. And, you know, I think like, hey, if I'm having a bad day on defense, I'm feeling sorry for myself. Special teams is a good way to, like, you know, get my spirits up, make a play over there. So I'm just happy we got it done.
Yeah, Leo Chanel, another professional, takes a lot of pride in his work. Justin Reed is a guy, I don't think he mentioned him there, but when you talk about that field goal block unit, Derek Nnadi getting the push up in the middle, the impeccable timing of Leo Chanel and in his get off, as well as his jump, his hands, the placement of his hands. You don't want it to be too high, don't want it to be too low. Have an innate ability to affect that third phase. And believe me, that's on film, not just from last year, not just from earlier this year against the Denver Broncos, but this last game that will cause other coordinators, specifically the Buffalo Bills coaches, to maybe bite off a few extra nails, grow a few gray hairs, because you never want to have to focus on the officials or special teams as far as an impactful part of the game. We're going to talk more about this last game in quarter two. Remember, the phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7695. When we come back, we got the hot fire, spit fire take, and I got one that's been popular all week.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Kareem Hunt in the game. Kansas City third down. Less than a yard for a touchdown, leading 6-3. 4:42 to go in the first half. Hunt trying to plow right side. Touchdown! Kansas City! Kareem Hunt, his sixth career playoff touchdown. Looking for his first win in the divisional round. And the Chiefs do taste the sweet nectar of the end zone.
All right, we are back. Second quarter of Players Only. I'm your host, Danan Hughes. The phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7695. Dan, we see you in KCK. We'll get to you to start the third quarter. But now, it is the hot fire, spit fire takes. I got a couple of them.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Because I spit hot fire.
Y'all call me super hot boy, 100 degrees, leather jacket, cause I'm super hot boy.
Oh! That open always makes me giggle. Yes, Julio, you did your work there. I appreciate that. So the hot fire, spitfire take from me. So there's a couple. I mean, obviously the big story from last week is the officiating. And I want to preface my hot fire take here, Julio, with there's a part of this message that I want to preach to the choir of the fans. But the main part of my diatribe right now is to former players, former athletes that have given oxygen to the whole notion of preferential treatment, of the officials siding higher on the side of the Chiefs than other teams, maybe playing favorites, whatever excuse there is. Now, I understand, and this is not a slight towards the general fan because I love the fans. I don't believe that our Chiefs would be where we are now. I don't believe that we would have the success. And I truly, truly believe this, that there are plays, there are situations in the game where the fans truly affect the game. They are truly the 12th men at the stadium that affect the game and have done so on several occasions over my 30-plus years here in Kansas City. The first part to the fans. The referees, and I posted, if you follow me on social media, you follow me on Twitter, I posted a couple of the explanations of the officials not on the field, but the officials back in New York, explaining the hits on Patrick Mahomes and why there were flags thrown. Obviously, we here in the Chiefs Kingdom, we accept that because it worked in our favor. That's just how it is. As fans, if it benefits you, you believe it. If it doesn't benefit you, then you think there's something wrong with it. I get that. There were clear explanations. I personally think that the league has been softened just a bit when you're considering that a quarterback can chase down a DB on an interception, can, if you're Josh Allen at 6'5", 237 pounds, run over defensive backs, run over linebackers on quarterback runs and quarterback draws and scrambles, and then opt to slide after you've run me over two, three, or four times and knock me out of bounds and stiff arm me into the Gatorade, you can slide late and be protected. I have a problem with that. There's a softening of the game. I have a problem with quarterbacks that use the sideline as their friend in regards to stepping out late. There's a softening of the game. Pushing aside my issues, the fact is that the rules are written specifically to protect those quarterbacks in those circumstances. And I believe there are some things that are written in that are humanly not possible. You've heard me say that on air. It is humanly impossible just because we have the benefit of freeze frame, slow-mo, replay, 50 different cameras and different angles, and you can see something does not mean that it is humanly and physically possible to do on the field or to change on the field full speed with 300-pounders pushing you around and Chris Jones glances a face mask when he's trying to block a pass. Or when two 240-pound guys, a fullback and a linebacker on a blitz, and they're taking each other on like two rhinoceros, and all of a sudden you squirt through, falling forward towards the quarterback and happen to hit him in the knee, and there's something, you get a flag and you get a penalty and a fine that week because you hit the quarterback low, when it's physically impossible to do anything else, there's a softening of the game. Having said that, based on the rules, those penalties were justified. That's not me talking, as people might call me biased on the text line or something like that. That is the rules. Hopefully they change some of those rules. The one there was a game with Jared Goff. He threw the interception. He got knocked on his behind on the pick six. The dude lifted him up off the ground. They were saying that it should have been a penalty. I would have been livid if they threw a penalty just from a football purist standpoint, because my contention is if you are a quarterback and you want to be protected, if you're a league that wants to protect quarterbacks, tell them not to chase interceptions. Don't chase them down. Then we are guaranteed that you will be protected. Then we will be guaranteed that although Jared Goff at 6'4", 220-something pounds is bigger than the DB that was blocking him, and if I'm running down and I see a bigger guy, I'm going to try to lift him too and get leverage, that would have been a penalty and a fine on me because of the so-called protecting the quarterbacks. Nevertheless, the rules are in place, and hopefully they adjust the rules. That's what I'm saying right now. Now, for the other part of it, Julio, to any former football players, high school, college, professional, pundits on ESPN, Fox, anybody else out there, I'm not saying that everybody's listening to me, but if there are people who are connected to other people who are listening from those big networks and other former players that are listening, understand this. When you feed into things, whether it's politically, whether it's socially, whether it's sports, when you feed into things and you support things, you are putting your name behind it. And what has made me upset this week, Julio, is the oxygen that former athletes have given to this notion that we are favorites, that we are the favorites of the stripes. And you make all the stupid memes and all the gifs, whatever it is. And the oxygen that's given gives credibility to the ignorant fan or the ignorant opposing fan to say that there's legitimacy in it. And when it's all said and done, it takes away from the legitimacy and the credibility of the game in totality. So to wrap it up, Julio, don't buy into it. And if something happens this week against us, hopefully not to the point of us losing a game, hopefully we are classy enough as a fan base that we won't do what we are criticizing D'Amico Ryans, the Houston Texans, the fans of other teams that hate the Chiefs right now. Hopefully we don't flip the script and become what we hate and what we've hated for this entire week by complaining about refs, but complaining about rules that were implemented correctly on the field. Don't be that fan base. Be better. Just like Jalen Watson said, if by chance we wind up losing, take the L. If by chance we have a bad play against us, take it, roll with it, and hopefully it doesn't impact us getting to New Orleans. See, there's no way Barbershop would have been able to be able to share like that, right? Well, I mean, we know it. Julio, you don't have to say anything. I know. Barbershop, you're my brother. Appreciate you. All right, when we come back, it's halftime. We got Dan and KCK on the line. We got a few text lines. We're going to tackle those after the break.
Time's yours.
You're listening to Players Only with Dan and Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
12:03 to go in the game. Chiefs lead 13-12. They have third down and goal to go at the 11.5-yard line of Houston. Three receivers to the right. Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game. An 11-yard touchdown. Playoff Pat to playoff Kelce. And the Chiefs lead 19-12.
Love my brother Mitch. Brings so much energy to the booth. Still brings energy from plays we've seen 50 times since Saturday evening. But that energy is real. It's pure. It's not fake at all. So shout out to my brother Mitch. Looking forward to calling what will be now, I guess, my sixth AFC championship in the booth with him. So hopefully we can get through it. And on our way to New Orleans in another week. We got the phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7695. Dan from KCK, we open up the second half. Each show with you. What you got, brother?
Time's yours.
Hey, Hey, Dane, how you doing? Yeah, it was a great win by the Chiefs. You know, Texans are complaining about the referees. They on the unnecessary roughness on Mahomes. But, hey, just get over with it. Chiefs and Dane made enough plays, and they didn't. So I'm getting ready for the Bills, and I think Stags will come up a great game plan, Dane, and they'll be left, like you said, 11 players going after Josh Allen. That'd be the one thing to do, and blitz when you have to, and dominate when you have to. I think Kelce will have a big game. I still say two touchdowns, but people at Henhouse, Dane, say, where I work at, say it's going to be a field goal. Take care of yourself, Dan. Let's go to the Super Bowl. Take care.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, Dan. Shout out to the people at Hen House. And, Dan, yeah, maybe a field goal will make it. Whatever it takes. If the score is 3-2, I don't care. As long as we are heading to New Orleans for an opportunity at a third straight Super Bowl, I am good with it. Dan, you bring the energy. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call. So way to go, Chiefs. They just keep taking care of business. You know, I like to say the Buffalo Bills are good, but the Chiefs are just better. You can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, Buffalo Bills. And here's why. Pat Mahomes, the best trigger man in the league, the king of sling. Woo! How about Pat Mahomes? He just keeps getting it done. Win, win, win. Travis Kelce. What about that big dog on the porch? That dude's a badass mofo. He does everything. That guy's a legend. He's going to just keep on doing it. And then how about Big Red? We love Big Red. He's going to have this team ready. All he does is take us to the AFC Championship games, and he just keeps winning. We're going to be ready. The defensive line with Spags, he's going to have stuff dialed up. That defensive line is playing lights out. The linebackers, the secondary, that's a dynamite defense, everybody. That's a Super Bowl defense, and they're going to have some stuff dialed up for the Buffalo Bills. And then you talked about our special teams, Leo Chanel. How about that dude, man? It could come down to something like that, Dana. And, you know, that's not him. How about Remigio? That's special teams. They're all dialed up. The offense, the defense, special teams. We're the better team. I'm old enough to remember, Buffalo Bills, those four Super Bowls you went to. You're cursed. You can't beat us. You can't beat the Kansas City Chiefs. We're in your head. You can beat us during the regular season, but you can't beat us during the playoffs. And come Sunday, the Chiefs are 12-0 at Arrowhead in their last 12. I expect it to be 13. And in the playoffs, your coach is Sean McDormand. Not Sean McDermott, it's Sean McDormand. And as always, let's go Chiefs.
Choo-choo-choo! Appreciate you, Big T. Love that energy as well. Look, just there's a line between being cocky and being confident. And we can be confident here in Kansas City, and whether we are bulletin board or social media post material for Buffalo Bills players and fans, so be it. I think you can make an argument, which many people have, that the fact that we were talking about a three-peat before we even touched the trophy in Vegas back in February is a sign of cockiness. I don't believe so. I think it's been awesome this entire year since Vegas that not only were the players talking about it, but the organization embraced it. How often do you heard stories after the fact of, hey, GMs and other personnel going to players and coaches saying, hey, man, quiet down. We don't want any unnecessary targets on our back. We don't want bulletin board material. Walk softly and carry a big stick. Let's just, you know, play it vanilla and then let our play speak the words that we want to speak. No, the Chiefs organization, your Chiefs organization, went and embraced it from the ownership all the way down that we want to go for history. We're aiming at history. You heard it from Leo Chanel. If you're not talking about winning a championship, what are you doing? And that's the mindset. And I love the bravado. I love the confidence that this team and this organization has displayed throughout this amazing run, and specifically since early February last year when we were winning a Super Bowl in Las Vegas. You talk about the players that are going to be impactful. Big T, you know, mentioned about defense and our three phases of the game being better than the Buffalo Bills. When you consider there were five players that did not play in the first matchup for each team, five key players. I'm sure there's more, and there's a shuffle in and out, but five key players for the Bills: Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, very talented right tackle from UNI, Dalton Kincaid, the starting tight end, Keon Coleman, one of the big targets for Josh Allen as a wide receiver, and Dwayne Smoot completes the five Bills players that did not play and in the game against the Chiefs earlier this season. But we didn't have Isaiah Pacheco, Hollywood Brown, Jalen Watson, Charles Omenihu, and Harrison Butker in that game as well. If you look at those names side by side, I feel like it's tilted towards us as far as more empowering than them. Matt Milano, solid linebacker. Spencer Brown, very good offensive tackle. Dalton Kincaid, the safety valve for Josh Allen, a big-time playmaker. Keon Coleman got away with a push last week, but is a very physical receiver. Big body guy at 6'4". Definitely can make some plays, but I'll take our list over their list for sure. That brings me to the text line from the 913. How are the Chiefs going to prevent the Bills from getting first downs, knowing how good Josh Allen is at converting third or even fourth and short with his running ability? That's a great point. If you go back to that first matchup, the Bills beat us 30-21. Obviously, the biggest play of the game was a fourth down run that not only got a first, would have gotten a first down, but wind up going in for the game securing touchdown by Josh Allen, broke a few tackles and made a big play on the biggest stage. Probably was his MVP moment if he winds up winning the MVP. But if you go back to that game, they ran 71 plays to our 52 plays. They gained us yardage wise 107 yards. They had 366 yards total offense in that game. And they ran the ball pretty darn well, 104 yards. A large part of that was Josh Allen and his rushing attack as well. We had double the penalties. Did you hear me correctly? We had double the amount of penalties this favorite Chiefs team that the officials don't want to throw flags on, and that we get the benefit of the doubt. We had twice as many penalties as they had in the game, and we had twice as many turnovers, 2-1 in that game, and yet they only won by 9 points, and they had to run in that touchdown on fourth down in the fourth quarter to put the game into that two-possession lead in that situation. So I feel like, to answer your question in the 913, one aspect and one key, and I guess I'm giving away a little bit of the fourth quarter of the show when I talk about keys to victory. One key that I think is going to be essential for us is not falling for the pump. Not falling for the pump fake by Josh Allen. Remember, I just mentioned his size. 6'5", 237 pounds. And as I look at our defense, there's one, as far as height-wise, there's one, two guys that are taller than Josh Allen on our defense. Charles Omenihu is 6'5", same size. Chris Jones listed at 6'6". Those are the only two guys that are close to as big as Josh Allen. George Karloftis is at 6'4". So I say that because if you are a guy that's going to try to jump to deflect a pass by Josh Allen, with his running ability, with his arm strength, his ability to make every throw all over the field, when he raises his arm, he is at 6'6"-ish with his arm where his ball is going to be released. Nobody on our team is that tall. So why go for a block? It's like playing against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and trying to block the hook shot. Not going to be successful. Chances are, more times than not, you're going to foul him and get him to the free throw line. So don't even go for it. Go for the hit. Keep your eyes dialed in right between his numbers, the 1 and the 7, and use your hands first. I know that's crazy to say when you talk about a guy that runs as physical as Josh Allen does, but use your hands first as opposed to not getting a helmet-to-helmet, not getting a roughing the passer or any penalty that's going to draw the attention of the officials because you were being too physical against one of the more physical or most physical specimens at quarterback in the NFL, maybe even in history. Don't be that guy that falls for the pump fake where you jump up, get caught in the air, and then he runs around you and gets a first down. So to answer your question, to me, that's the number one game plan that I would employ if I was Coach Spags. I'm telling my guys, just run, try to run through the 1 and 7 with your hands first And then if you wind up getting around him and he's still standing up, then let your teammates come and clean up the pile and be physical. My brother Sean Barber talked about it with Carrington. This is a game where we have to establish the physicality from the beginning, not giving them any life or any attitude to feel like they're going to be the more physical team in this game. And if that means we got to get a penalty early because we are lowering the boom on guys, let it be known. And we just got to reel back from it if it's a penalty early in the first quarter, because I guarantee that's the mindset of that defense there. We're going to tackle more text messages when we come back for the fourth quarter of the show. There's some doozies here. I'm looking forward to it.
You're listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
I came to bring the pain, hardcore from the brain. Inside my astral plane, find out my mental based on instrumental record. Hey, so I can write monumental methods. I'm not the king, but
all right, we are back. The fourth quarter of Players Only. I wanted that hit Method Man to bring us into this final segment as we get in the keys to winning this AFC championship against the Buffalo Bills. The number one key is to bring the pain. Bring the pain in the game. I feel like this is one of those games where it can be a throwback, and it should be throwback from the beginning. If I am the Buffalo Bills, if I'm Sean McDermott, and I have lost to this team in the playoffs several times, debilitating losses in the quest to get to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl, and came up consistently short against this team, the message that I'm sending is not about injuring players. It's not about hurting guys. It's about bringing some pain to the game. And if you're going on the road in a hostile environment where you were just, just blown up from the 13-second game and the multiple losses in the playoffs, and then last year up in Western New York losing that game on your home field, you're probably willing to take on a couple of penalties early in the game to try to set the tone. We have to be willing to counter that. And I would even go to the extent of not countering it, but setting the tone from the beginning, whether it's a kickoff coverage, whether it's the first defensive set, putting a hit on Josh Allen in a legal way, but a physical way. Not just letting him run out of bounds and stiff arm us, but pushing him out of bounds, hitting him out of bounds, letting him know that all game long, he will not be the one to dictate the physicality in this game. So we're talking about a tough, tough Bills team that's going to come in with a lot of incentive. You couldn't have drawn up if you were writing a script about how the AFC should be settled for a chance to go to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. I'm not sure at the beginning of the season you could have written a better script than the Buffalo Bills beating us on their home field in the regular season, somewhat avenging the loss of the divisional round loss from last year, and now having to come to Arrowhead Stadium to face us again for that final chance to get to the Super Bowl. Something that popped up on my feed earlier this week was the Stephon Diggs picture of him watching us and the confetti and accepting the Lamar Hunt trophy at the end of the field and him watching it from a distance. That's something that popped up, and I'm sure that's something that resides in the minds of a lot of the Bills players and fans that were part of that team. From the 913, Josh Allen always slides with his head up trying to get calls. I do believe, and I'm not putting Patrick Mahomes outside of this, I do believe quarterbacks, and Russell Wilson has said this, they know the rules as well or better than most anybody. And they know how to toe the line of rules to draw flags, whether it's flopping, whether it's late slides, whether it's goading defenders, maybe staying up a little bit longer and getting hit in the way and falling awkwardly. Like I think Jared Goff did last week. I don't believe that he just got blown up. I believe he was trying to sell a penalty on a pick six. They do that. So I would not put it past Josh Allen, even with his physicality, that he would not try to draw flags. Actually, there was a meme of several that he tried to draw. Mahomes will shred the Bills D from the 913. Unleash the horses. Kelce, D-Hop, Hollywood, Worthy, Juju, Kareem, Pacheco, and Watson. I love it. All those guys being a part of the success in this game is a throwback to what we were able to experience last year when Patrick Mahomes was dishing the ball to 10, 11 different guys every game. Don't forget about Noah Gray being a part of that, who had a huge game against Buffalo earlier this season. This is going to be a huge game, Chiefs. Kingdom, get your voices ready if you're going to be out on the field. We need your help. The 12th man will be in true effect and will be called on for duty Sunday night starting at 5:30 p.m. For Julio, this is Dane and Hughes. Let's bring it home. Peace. Hit somebody in the mouth! Time my name gets mentioned. Papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know it's where somebody I'm going. It's somebody to
mouth, Romeo! Players Only with Dane and Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.